Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Let those who worship evil's might beware my power. Green Lantern's light.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is DC Movie News, bringing you the most up-to-date discussion and commentary within the DC Universe.
Police! What's up, everybody? Welcome to the DC Movie News Show. Wherever you are in the DC Universe, sit down, relax, have a cup of joe, and enjoy the next hour with us. Johnny LaQuasto here. We are missing Adam Gertler this week. He is shooting FX Movie Download, but he wants you to know, make sure you watch FX Movie Download this Friday night on FX. He's going to be back hopefully soon, I think next week, right?
He's so dreamy.
He's dreamy old Gertler. So we're, but anyway, it's all on Twitter at Adam Gertler. You miss him and you want to see him back. Let's get to it. We got a great show ahead of you. I'm at Jay Quasto on Twitter. We are at DC Movies SK. We are at facebook.com/DC Movies SK. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Pretty
good.
Sure.
You're
Facebook.
Good. You got it.
Find us. And to my left, she's always here. You love her. She's amazing. She's at Roxy Stryer on Twitter. She's Roxy Stryer.
Hello, everyone. Happy to be here.
What's up, girl?
What's up, boy?
Not much. And everyone is so thrilled to see this guy back. He is now our friend of the show.
Absolutely. I love
He's the BFF. He's a very talented actor. He is another man alongside me that should play a superhero in some film.
Go.
Find him on Twitter at Mike Kalinowski. He's Mike Kalinowski.
Thank you for having me back, everybody. Great being here.
It's great to have you back.
I love it,
my friend.
In all fairness, though, we didn't really bring you back. The fans brought you back because they're obsessed with you.
You guys are awesome. I read all the comments and stuff like that. So, guys, that was so fantastic.
Yeah. It's hard to get all positive comments from a passionate fan base, and you
cool.
somehow
no,
pull
they're,
it
they're
off.
Great. They're fantastic. On Twitter, been reaching out to me, so thank
I
you
get
for
why,
that.
Though. He's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's all right.
Yeah, he passes in our book.
He passes the eyeball test, whatever that might be. All right, let's get into it. We got a lot of stuff going on here. First off, I'm going to start off with a little swear word, gang. Jason Momoa.
Oh, yes.
Why not start with it? It's a perfect story to start with.
I was going
to
say, but yeah.
Yeah, we're starting with it. So, Indiana Comic Con, which is a hotbed for all amazing things, he was there last week signing autographs. He was at a Game of Thrones panel, and he was asked to sign a poster for a fan. But the fan also said, hey, besides your John Hancock, or Herbie Hancock, if you go that route, can you please give a message to why the DC movie universe is going to be better than Marvel. Some to that extent. It was paraphrased, whatever the fan said. And Jason Momoa decided to put a nice little message on that poster.
Signed it right on there.
Yeah. Oh, is this where I come in?
Yeah, whatever you want to say about it.
All right, I'm sorry. We don't usually do it, but it said, fuck Marvel.
Whoa, can we say that?
Dem's fighting words.
Yep.
I did it. He said it, so I did it.
We'll bleep it in post.
No,
we won't.
Sorry you're watching this live.
I wonder if there's a little undercurrent of that because he was up for Drax in Guardians for a while. He was up for it, and they were talking because Marvel plays real hardball when it comes to signing people. They're like, no, we don't care who you are. You're going with this rate of money.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just, he walked from it because he was the up there. So
you think he's bitter?
Well, not bitter. Look, who'd you be, Drax, part of an ensemble, or an Aquaman?
Yeah.
And you're going to have your own movie eventually.
But at the time, though, he didn't know he was going to be Aquaman.
Right. Of course not.
And let us not forget, too, I mean, number one, Batista was amazing. And I know I did a casting workshop with the casting office, and they said Batista actually beat out a lot of people for that role. Granted, he physically fits the role.
Oh, sure.
Right.
I mean, he was...
But...
You wouldn't think, going into it, that he's going to be a standout guy in that, but he was fantastic.
Yeah. I also want to add that we are not 100% certain about this, because he still hasn't commented on it, and nobody has proved that this was him, although it seems as if it was.
Yeah.
And that it is his.
And even if it was, it's all in good fun. It's not like there's really a war going on. There's not a lot of anger.
Right.
Momo is a rich dude. He's living his dream. But of course, why not get a little dig in, you know?
Well, I don't know, because I agree with you. I think it's hysterical, but I do think that if I was somebody else, I wouldn't think it was as funny. And I would think that it was insensitive or whatever it is.
Well, he's known to have a potty mouth.
Yeah, that's true.
He likes to start stuff. He likes to start it.
He's himself in a little hot water in the past with his language. So.
One of the followers on the show here, they made a t-shirt already of it. it. It's got the big F and the big M, and it's real tiny. So I was like, he's like, would you guys wear that? I was like, I'll wear one of those. If I can get one of those.
Do that so fast.
Send them on over. Yeah, we'll put them on.
The guy, I think it's Clark Kenny calls himself on Twitter, but man, he put that up there. I was like, I'd wear that at Comic-Con.
If people want to send us t-shirts, we'll give you an address to send them to.
Absolutely.
I will wear a t-shirt proudly.
That thing.
I'll cut the sleeves off. I'll mow the lawn. I don't give a damn.
I'll do that little tie thing on the side.
She'll do the tie thing that chicks do. Mike will do it too.
It's kind of crop interesting.
Crop top it.
Yeah. You know, it goes into this where they're talking about, where it's almost two camps, Marvel or DC people. And
yeah.
I don't know where this came from.
I don't either.
Because before Iron Man, the Marvel fans were bashing their own movies with Punisher and Spidey and that, but then Marvel finally does well.
Yeah, yeah.
And now everyone's like, Marvel's this. DC can't get their shit together.
It's
but then,
one big family. It's like us. Yeah. It's like the Marvel show before us. We're all friends. Matt Key's on the show all the time. We all want to watch everything.
Absolutely.
We all want to enjoy everything. So it's just
this
a fun
flame
little,
war,
you know,
that they get going sometimes.
I have to say, also coming from the comments, Retro Bat says Momoa did finally comment on it. He told, you guys are going so fast. Told people to stop taking things so seriously.
Exactly.
So
well, I don't think are people really taking it that seriously. I think it was kind of funny.
Those two camps. I mean, you see like couple of websites you go to, and you know the flame wars start going, and really are hate DC or the DC hate Marvel. I was like,
that's silly.
I'm just excited. We're getting like a comic book movies.
Come on,
I mean,
that's good.
I know he's not here right now, but Gertler's like a big fan of comic books in general,
right,
and saying that doesn't really matter DC Marvel. If you like comic books and you like both of them, and he's with
absolutely
you, that he doesn't know really where this rivalry started.
Yeah.
But I think that if you live in the don't take things so seriously, some friendly competition can't hurt, and it makes them raise their stakes and it elevates everybody to do better. So I think that that's okay.
Of course, and we brought it up. We thought it'd be how often do you have a chance to start off a show with a story like this?
Yeah.
It's hilarious to us. We of course support everything, and we're super excited for DC, and obviously Momoa is. I mean, look at how he's going to be as Aquaman. That's a badass looking.
Oh man, it looks good.
Character.
Yeah.
You have that poster. Unite the Seven.
Right.
Good God Almighty.
Yes. I mean, and
it's the dawn of the DC Universe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Coming over from Game of Thrones too, because you guys know I'm a huge TV fan. But you don't have to really be a TV fan to be a Game of Thrones fan, because everybody is. But I've been rewatching because it's coming back up in April, and oh my God, he's just so freaking good.
I'm gonna lose points here. I don't watch Game.
I don't watch Game of Thrones either.
Oh my God. Who
I tried.
Seeing?
I watched it, and the one guy was sleeping with his sister, and then pushed a little kid out of a window in a castle. I'm just kind of like,
you're not into the incest thing.
No,
not really your bag.
Maybe in the 1400s I would have been. When does it take place? I have no idea.
And then the dragon on her
different
shoulder.
Land, like, different land, different time.
Got it. I only have so many hours in a day. And Game of Thrones, I'm like 97 episodes behind. So.
I don't know if I can support this right now.
You're on an island. Whatever island Game of Thrones, you're on there. And him and I are in reality.
Fine, I'll enjoy my island. And I'll take all my DC fans with me.
No.
Yeah. So Momoa did comment on it. And
no.
What the hell? Fun way to start the show. Moving on. Now, we're not really getting into spoilers here on this show, but it is fun to kind of throw some things out there that are thrown out at us. Latino Review is always really on top.
That guy's on his stuff, man. Yeah. And the Scoop Hunter, he calls himself the Big Game Hunter, but that guy is...
It's
on it.
He should be at TMZ, for God's sake.
Yeah. On one of the Schmoes No Show, I think it was like 2 months ago, Christian and I got in a fight about him because I was like, he's always right. Christian's like, no, he's got to be wrong sometimes.
Well,
Christian
will never
and so I
agree.
I ate my words that he has occasionally been off, but... Oh my God, he's really got it. No,
he's
you
got it. There was this big, it was years ago, but
discrepancy.
The World War Hulk was going to be phase three in this. He really kind of overstayed. He was outside Marvel, the studios talking about it. But, I mean, in that thing.
All right, take Christian's
change.
Side, why don't you?
No, I don't. I think the guy that. El Mambe, I don't really know. I think he's great.
Here's
I think he's a true fan,
how
and I like the guy.
How the hell does he find these things? He's not an employee.
No, he's got friends that are, I mean.
Here's my question. Why would they leak information unless he's paying
Everyone
them?
Wants to be a part of something like that. It's
right.
like,
but
the
it's anonymous.
Right, but to them, it's they're attached to him because he's now doing this thing where he goes and he posts to Instagram, hey, I got a scoop. So it builds his Instagram. It's everyone just wants that. It builds his celebrity.
And I think that some of the
leaks...
He
enjoys it, and that's what he wants to do. So he's good at it. This guy's good at it.
Some of these leaks must be planned leaks, too. They're coming directly from sources. And I do think there's the same reason that screeners leak all of the time. Like, people want to be the reason other people are getting information.
We were talking about this a little bit in the Far, Far Away podcast. I don't understand the wanting to... scoop something about a casting decision or plot points. I don't get that. But there's a whole industry or people, fans, that they love that stuff and they want to know before they actually let the studios unfurl it, you know?
Yeah.
So it's an industry. And this guy's – he's a – but also noticing he's not – he's not this shady about it. He's really seems like a good guy.
Yeah.
And all the talking. So I applaud him for what he does.
You want to grab a beer with him?
I'd love to. He's doing the King of Cons at the Comic-Con. I'd love to meet that guy. He seems like a great guy.
And he might just be the go-to for the major companies to say, hey, if anyone's
going to
leak
anything. They're always pointing to his story, so it's great, you know.
And those Instagrams he puts out, oh, man.
They're good, man.
Let's get into the first one, shall we?
Yes.
Possible role for Batman in Suicide Squad, like I said, from Latino Review. I'm not going to give away much. Basically, he claims, and I don't really see this as being the case, but like you say, he's generally always right.
Yes.
Batman may end up being some kind of boogeyman that no one's ever seen besides the Joker, and the government hates him, and the Joker is kind of seeked out by Amanda Waller, which will also lead into something about Joker, but your initial thoughts on that.
Here's my deal. I always said that I do not want to see Joker introduced without Batman in the same film because I just don't – I think of them as tit for tat, whatever it is. And I am happy that if Joker is being introduced, which we know he is,
right,
that Batman will be there. But I don't know in what capacity it would be appropriate for Batman to be there. And what you just said doesn't quite sound –
it doesn't add up with
– well, it seems like they're – I don't know if they're showing the squad this, but there are surveillance footage of Batman taking down criminals where they're trying to study that because they're thinking, well, if we see how this guy operates, it'll give us research on how to apprehend these other supers that are out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if we can study on this guy who we know is out there, but he's so good at evading all capture.
So that might be his only appearance.
Yeah,
he might not even
think
be a
he's
part of the
be,
story. He might be the prototype of guy that, you know.
I think he's going to be like a found footage, the surveillance cameras, and you see the cape. He might not even be like, an Affleck in it.
He came in for one day of shooting. Oh, it's not even him.
Look, you're just seeing the cape and the cowl going, you know, somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this can't count as one of his six movies or whatever he signed on for.
So, you know, it's interesting to see.
Which leads into the one that I'm really more excited about. So when talking about Joker, Latino Review mentioned that he's actually going to be possibly kind of jacked up, like doing prison workouts. He's going to have a backstory and possibly a lot of interactions with Hugo Strange, who may be a psychiatrist at the prison. I think that is freaking awesome.
Why do you think it's awesome? Just because
it's so cool.
Blows your mind?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is one that I'd be more stoked about, and it would make a little bit more sense.
I find it so interesting that everyone always has a problem. Like, people blew up when they showed they were talking he's going to be putting on weight for this. Mm-hmm. Oh, the Joker's not buff. The Joker's not this. It's like, well, back in, you know, 2000.
Heath Ledger wasn't skinny.
Well, they were always like, oh, the Joker's got to be perma-white. His skin has got to be bleached. But then comes out Heath Ledger puts the paint on it. Everyone's like, oh, my God, it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's like, you know,
you got Jack Nicholson, who was kind of like the clown Joker.
Mm-hmm.
Heath Ledger was the anarchist. I think he's kind of going to be this rock star kind of, like, you know, in shape where he might, you know, who knows?
Jim Morrison in Whiteface?
I was thinking about this, and it's also interesting that he's actually going to be younger than Affleck's Batman, because Affleck's Batman's I think, pushing 50 in the movie, so he's even older than what Affleck is, and Jared Leto looks young.
Yeah, he does.
He'll probably be playing younger, so I think this is the first time we're going to see a Joker younger than Batman.
Right. Mm. Does that bother you?
I could care less.
Hmm. Yeah. You know, I think going back, it's like people don't necessarily know what they want until it's in front of them. So people are always like throwing in their own two cents. And I'm guilty of the same thing. I'm always like, no, it has to be like this. But then I see something, I'm like, wow, if they had listened to me, it would have turned out like crap. And now it's so much better. So I do think that we should kind of just like step back and let the creative decisions be handled by the experts.
And don't forget, this all could be a swerve, and we don't know what we're going to see. Bottom line is, when you go to the movie theater, it's all going to be a surprise. Whatever we talk about here, whatever Latino Review throws
unless
out
Latino
there,
Review gets it and gets the script, and then
either way,
we'll
though,
everything.
I'm still going to be surprised seeing it.
Yeah.
Regardless of what they tell me ahead of time, there's going to be a lot of stuff that's just going to explode on the screen. You'll be like, oh, I'm in.
Right.
But if Hugo Strange is a psychiatrist at the prison, oh, God, come on.
That makes sense. It's you know.
People in the chat are saying that Leto is older than Ben Affleck. Is that true?
Is he?
I feel like
hell no.
He looks so young.
Listen to the thing people talk about. A lot of people, get so caught up in an actor's true age and an actor's true hair color. That doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter at all.
It matters what they can play. And I know Affleck is 43, I believe.
1 year, so Leto's 1 year older than Affleck, says Wreaker of Havoc.
He's aging well. Well, yeah, I mean, he's been on TV for a better half of 20 years,
Holy
so that would make
God,
sense.
I would never have thought that.
I think he could play like a 25-year-old.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's got that like young skin. Like, so Affleck is like 43, and he's playing, I think Batman's supposed to be like almost 50 in this movie.
Sure.
So, but who knows? Who knows?
That is a really good question. Who knows?
I am,
not me.
I am Ninja Panda in chat roll. Great suggestion. Bryan Cranston for Hugo Strange. Holy shit.
Oh, well, I just think Bryan Cranston for president, so.
For anything. For anything, really.
Ever since I think it was year one, I see him as Gordon.
Oh, really?
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah.
That's
he's
fair.
Gordon to me.
Oh, he's stuck in Godzilla right now for me.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was a
Christ,
it's a rough go at it.
Yeah.
One more thing here. Now we're talking Deathstroke. Apparently, Deathstroke's going to be involved somehow in Suicide Squad. How? We don't quite know, but we have maybe an idea where he could be hired by Onslaught, which we spoke about last week.
Right.
He may be hired by Onslaught to take out the Suicide Squad. And on top of that, it looks like we have all but locked a actor to play Deathstroke. Joe Manganiello. So Italian, I can't even.
Joe
Manganiello.
That was good.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I'm Sicilian. He actually just dropped out of the Ryan Murphy series Scream Queens due to scheduling conflicts.
Yeah. Right.
He has worked with David Ayer before on the film Sabotage. He's already jacked out of his gourd. What are your thoughts on, number one, Deathstroke's possible role being hired by Onslaught, the terrorist group, and also Joe Manganiello possibly playing Deathstroke?
I think that he must know something that we don't know, because Scream Queens is supposed to be huge. Ryan Murphy's obviously really, really big. Lea Michele is also cast. Well, I don't know, because obviously he does American Horror. He also does Glee. He's got a lot of different sides to him. And I heard it's supposed to be funny but scary. So I don't really know. That's all I know about it so far, and that Lea Michele was brought over from Glee afterwards. So I don't know. I just think that if you're signing onto a project with Ryan Murphy, you know it's probably going to do pretty well.
Everything he does.
You're dropping that project because of scheduling, you must have something else that is scheduled. And what is that other than this? So I think we've got a good chance of seeing him. And maybe that's just me speaking because I want to see him. Because I think he's great.
It's a little bit of a mixed reaction in chat roll here. I mean, it's
interesting that it's mixed on that. I think he's perfect for it. I know a lot of people wanted him for Batman.
Well, a lot of people want to see Manu Bennett because he's playing Deathstroke.
And they're very. I don't want to say they're similar. I should say that
we can't
mix them up.
No, because then we're never going to be able. Like, we're talking about Infinite Crisis. We're talking about mixing the TV. It just would be all hell would break loose if we cast somebody from Arrow. In the DC Cinematic Universe. It would be, oh my gosh.
And also it depends on the vibe an actor gives off. People are talking about is Joe Manganiello going to play Deathstroke or Shazam? To me, way better fit for Deathstroke. He's not a kid-like actor. No. He's not going to, when you see him, he doesn't exude a youthful cheer. No. He's a dude that would fit better as the Deathstroke character.
I would think. No, I think that he's a perfect fit, and like you, I'm kind of surprised that people aren't seeing it.
I'm surprised that there's debate about it. I think he's perfect for it.
Do you guys think that him dropping the project means that he more than likely is picking this project up?
I think so.
Or already has?
Yeah. I mean, it certainly seems like it for him to, scheduling conflicts, to drop out of a huge Ryan Murphy series, that tells you something's happening.
Right.
Why
it
else
tells
you
that he has a schedule conflict.
Yeah. And what else would he be possibly shooting? And he's worked with Ayer before.
Yeah.
So I think it all starts to add up a little bit. And in the storyline for that's it's not a huge surprise if he would be hired by Onslaught.
Right, yeah. That Onslaught character is not something that I'm very familiar with. That's a character that kind of came up to be put in the movie. I'm kind of like, wow, that's interesting. They're kind of broadening the DC universe, which is great.
Yeah,
and it would make sense for modern day society. Not, I guess as far as like having a terrorist group,
right?
That would make sense.
Wreaker of Havoc in the chat says Manganiello was actually up for Superman at some point. Was that true? I cannot.
It seems like everyone was up for Superman at one point. Matthew Bomer was up for him.
To me, he just seems.
He's been up for a lot of stuff too.
He just seems so much older than Cavill for me.
Than Cavill,
Cavill, yeah.
I don't know. I just don't see that as a fit because he's so much grittier.
I have such a hard time remembering it, but seeing him because he was Flash Thompson in the Tobey Maguire movies. Mm. To see him now, it's just like, that's only 10 years. And he, either grew up real fast
and
changed.
He's just got such a different vibe to him now, such a different look.
You get a trainer and a personal chef.
Yeah. That's why he's
a
great
Deathstroke. And a True Blood.
Yeah, there you go. Start drinking blood. You could put on some pounds, man.
Yeah.
Start getting that bench press up.
I think I'm going to go for that whole blood thing.
Okay. Roxy's a vampire, everyone.
I do watch enough vampire television. That's true.
She sits there with a glass of red wine and just pretends it's blood. Like, yes, okay.
That's, you think this is lipstick? It's really just blood. I want to suck.
Moving on.
Your blood.
Let's get back to, just a little more, I don't want to say smack talk, a little more fun stuff here. So Walking Dead creator Robert Kirkman was on a South by Southwest panel this past week. It was a panel called Creative Activism. And he was questioned as to why DC had to reveal all of their plans before Batman vs. Superman. And he brings up a good point, but also followed up with a compliment to DC.
Right.
He says, it's not organic, so there's going to be so much scrutiny on Batman vs. Superman when it comes out. But he did go on to say he thought Aquaman looked amazing, and he actually liked Man of Steel. So he does bring up a decent point. He wanted to see Justice League a surprise. That's kind of what I think he wanted.
Yeah.
I think it's so funny when people use the word actually, like, and I actually liked that. It's kind of like a backhanded compliment.
A little bit.
Yeah, like, nobody else liked it, but I actually did.
I hear that about my comedy all the time.
Oh, no, never. Going back to the first thing we were talking about tonight, if Momoa can drop the F-bomb about Marvel, then it's only fair that people are firing back. And
why not?
You kind of can't take it too personally and shouldn't take things so seriously.
And he was just being candid at the panel, and he was just giving his opinion. He didn't say anything too bad, but it's, you know, obviously getting a little bit of buzz going.
He seemed like he wanted, and he was mentioned, I think, about the whole, he wanted, like, the Iron Man Nick Fury thing at the end of a DC movie. So, you know,
but that's the thing, though. He wants DC to be original and surprise people. Well, then he's saying he wants you to just copy what was, you know?
I don't get this. There's a lot going on where people are like, oh, DC is copying Marvel with the universe building and this and that. And I was like, are they really? Are they really copying just because Marvel had the standalone films to go into, you know, Avengers?
Exactly.
It seems pointless and shouldn't be this. You know, we're going to complain about this because DC,
it's just we have a year to wait and there's just people that have to talk.
Also, us.
Yeah.
Then wouldn't Star Wars be copying that too? Because now they're doing their standalone.
Because it's comics and they feel that. And I hate sometimes that the people, they get so vitriol about it. I was like, well, if you don't like the movie so much, you don't have to go see it.
Yep.
You don't have to pay the money to see it.
Also, just copying something, nothing is really completely original anymore. So many things have been done that it's like if you see something and it's working, you would be stupid to not follow something. Or, I don't know, I don't get that.
And let us not forget, thank you, Lumbreras454. DC does have one of the greatest trash talkers in sports entertainment history, The Rock! So if you want to get that trash talk going, trust.
Yeah, that's true.
He will take care
of
everything.
That's true. And Fundy would agree.
And Manganiello. He can talk
some
smack.
Big guns going in there.
Yeah. And Jason Momoa. Yeah. We got three massive trash talkers.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to see.
I like how those guys just like to start stuff. They just like throwing it out there and starting stuff.
We need Margot Robbie or Cara Delevingne to come out and say and talk some smack. That's what we need.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, what's up?
Bring that thunder.
I mean, we need a woman
on the
out
field there.
This is interesting, too. WB CEO Kevin Tushuhara, I think I said that correctly.
Yeah, very good.
I struggle with that so bad.
Practiced all week. He came out and basically wanted to, he said that DC is going to be edgier than Marvel, whatever you want to take edgier as. This is his quote. So the worlds of DC are very different. They're steeped in realism, and they're a bit edgier than Marvel's movies. The key thing is that the movies and television shows and the games, everything looks very different. You have to be able to take advantage of the diversity of these characters.
I just think we're talking about so many different movies. Every movie has a different tone slightly. So, yes, some movies are edgier, and then some aren't. And some Marvel movies are edgy, and then some of them really aren't. Like, I wouldn't call Guardians particularly edgy, but Captain... You know, I just think some of them are. Some of them are.
Guardians is not edgy at all.
No.
It was amazing.
It's not. But then, you know, you've got other movies where your best friend turns evil and taking you out, and that's edgy.
Is he referring to the fact of how Man of Steel was not the Superman everyone loves? in the sense that, you know, he was the chipper guy, the smiling, saving the little cat in the tree originally. And that version, I'm sorry about that, they're kind of going that way with it.
Whereas, well, did you find Man of Steel to be particularly edgy?
I love Man of Steel. I'm not a Superman guy.
Superman's never been an edgy...
I actually love Man of Steel.
Superman's not an edgy character. That's Batman's job.
Right, but I think people were like, that's not Superman to do this in that movie and this and that, and his dad telling him that he maybe should let these kids die, but it was like, that's their world they're creating with this Superman that's starting off, and I think that's the blueprint they're using, Man of Steel, to kind of create this universe. I think all their characters, even when they bring Hal Jordan in, who is kind of like the fly boy, the charming, you know, cocky guy, it will still be a little more steeped in this darker reality.
Yeah, I didn't find our what opened us to this reality, Man of Steel, to be particularly edgy. I found it a little sad, and I also was I'm somewhere in between, but I did for the most part like the movie. But when you look at, say, their TV shows, we've got Arrow, really edgy, and Flash, not edgy at all.
But still amazing.
But still amazing.
Which we're going to get to.
Right. So in general, I tend to like edgy things, but I think that there's a time and a place for it. Mm-hmm. And I think that this might make people a little nervous based on the no humor allowed in the DC clause that somehow got made up at some point.
That's all a complete myth. I look at it this way. If you're writing a script and a chance for humor comes up, you go with it. But the thing is with comedy, you never want to force a joke in when it's really not necessary or when it doesn't really fit. And
right.
That's all there's
right.
to. DC fans aren't going to walk away disappointed if they're like, oh man, I just didn't giggle enough. No. Just tell an amazing story and give us something that we've never seen before, and everyone's going to be thrilled.
Yeah, I agree with that. As long as the movie is great, people don't really care what direction.
And Jim Mills brings up a good point. He said Superman is a little edgier now. They revamped him in the New 52 for modern times. So point taken, they can take some pieces from New 52 into cinematic as well.
Right. You know what would make it the edgiest? Sorry, they're asking for it in the chat.
No, don't do it.
Ben can't join. It'd be so edgy. He'd piss in all your litter boxes. Okay, I'm done. That was it for the day. You know, Johnny, they're starting to make memes about your face when I do Bane Cat and what you do as a reaction. Can't you just smile and nod?
For everyone in chat roll who wanted that, I will never forgive you.
I didn't make it up. They were asking for it, I swear.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody said, what's Bane Cat? And then I really panicked and had to do it. So,
if you're listening on iTunes, please stay listening. we appreciate your patronage. Oh boy. Chat rolls is about to go crazy with the showing up of Bane Cat.
All right, moving on.
Okay.
Was that edgy enough for you guys?
So we mentioned The Flash. Let's get into it. First off, The Flash Arrow spinoff. We don't know if it's ever going to happen, but let's be honest, it's going to happen. Executive producer Greg Berlanti mentioned, we talked about last week about how there's going to be three new characters that have never been introduced before in live action.
Mm-hmm.
He also mentions there's going to be a new villain. Now, Greg Berlanti also works on Supergirl. That's going to be coming out. He says he wants the Flash Arrow spinoff to be most similar to the recent crossover episodes, which I know makes everyone go crazy. He said, you want to feel like that eventiness all the time. He's like, I want a new female superhero, but I want to introduce a new villain that we haven't seen before.
Yeah, the fact that he said this is going to be like the crossover blows my mind, because that episode was one of the best episodes of television I've seen in a long time. I just don't know how that's going to hold up week after week after week. Will it lose its effect because we've got this like super load amazingness every single time? And will they be able to keep up that quality?
It seems like they're going for the comic series Brave and the Bold.
Right.
Where it was two heroes teamed up. They've got their core group, and then every episode, every, let's say, maybe three or four episodes, they bring a new hero in.
Mm-hmm.
That would seem almost what they're doing with this whole team-up thing.
Yeah.
Which, what I find still interesting is the fact that Robbie Amell has not been named in the cast.
Mm-hmm.
And he came out recently and said, because, you know, certain things in the sets. What I think, and this is from a behind-the-scenes standpoint.
You're talking about as Firestorm?
As Firestorm. But they mentioned Victor Garber.
Yeah, which was so bizarre.
So,
I saw that, and I was thinking, but you know, they have the power now to separate and join whenever they want, which isn't typical of the character.
So this is my theory on that. I think Robbie Amell has booked another pilot. Because we're in pilot season right now. I think he has already booked a pilot. Because Tomorrow People was gone. He was just a guest star. And you've got to think from an actor standpoint, well, I got to work. So this show wants me. So he booked a pilot.
He could drop out if he wanted
to. Sure,
he
could. But they're not. They had. He might have gotten that offer before.
What if he didn't book a pilot and he's now just a series regular for Flash? Then do you think they'd be able to pull him over?
Because things happen differently. Like, I remember Arrow was. Like, they didn't go into production for a while, but Amell was cast in, like, January of that. So he was cast early on. Robbie Amell could have been cast in this pilot way before they wanted to do this team-up episode.
It would have to be a CW pilot, though, because that's
so
his
now that
world.
So now they've left him to the point of, we're bringing him in as a guest star. They'll have Professor Stein be kind of like the oracle of this group, the tech person, keep everyone together. And whenever they need Firestorm for an episode, they'll bring Robbie in as a special guest.
There you go. Which makes perfect sense.
Really cool.
It already has Adam, Black Canary, Captain Cold, Heatwave, like you said, Firestorm.
Black Canary.
And then budget-wise, you don't have Firestorm every episode.
Right.
So it saves them their money.
It's a great point. And if it's going to be a crossover, they mentioned it might almost be like collections of miniseries.
Yeah.
Right. And that's why I think, like you're talking about, we bring in two people per time, then they go, and then they go and come back.
I'm sorry. They said recently they're thinking it's going to be a mid-season show.
Hmm.
I read that. I think they said it's going to come out in spring of 2016.
You think something's going to happen that makes it come out?
I think they'll do like Flash and Arrow, have the break, put that in there just like they did Agent Carter for S.H.I.E.L.D.
So that way the fans always have something.
And you're not over stimulating people putting three shows
plus
out there.
Plus, mid-season, you generally don't have as much pressure.
Exactly.
To do well.
I got to say, it's going to make my life sound like it's pretty perfect, but this is the worst thing that happens in my life when the shows go off and they're on hiatus and I, for months, am like arrowless and flashless. So if they could do something to fill that void in my life, I would really appreciate it.
CW could just be the DC TV show universe for all I care. Just put them all out there.
Well, people go, for the crossover episodes, everyone loves it. And let's get into the Flash episode because I know you lost your damn mind.
This week's Flash episode? I know.
With that hand going.
I'm gonna give you guys a grand introduction and just take it away. You will have the floor.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, to discuss week's episode of The Flash, which was mind-blowing, mind-boggling, and completely incredible to the brain, ears, eyes, nose, and throat, I give to you Roxy Stryer and Mike Kalinowski.
Thank you very much.
All right, here's the deal. Okay. I've got a couple things to say to start. Number one, I know that some of you guys are overseas and you get the episodes later than we do. So if you don't want spoiler alerts, then try to skip over the next minute or so of this podcast. So I'm really sorry we get them. I have to say, I thought that this was the best episode of Flash so far. You guys, in all of your tweets, asked us to talk about that, which is why we're talking about it. I know that we do mostly movies, but I can't even help it. I was freaking out. It's so unbelievable, but it also doesn't matter at all because it never happened. But it did happen because I saw it.
Right.
I mean, it's
time travel. But did you see it?
But did
time travel? It's so raw. You don't understand. It's like all right, but because in that episode, the one actress was like, my cab. I'm gonna be late for work. I was like,
and you're like, why did they put that in
there?
I knew. I was like, that's a timestamp. That's a timestamp. Like, they're doing something.
For?
Yeah. I was like, you can't waste a single second
now,
on the show.
I'm a little different than you in this episode. I felt it was 45 minutes of. Okay.
Ooh.
15 minutes of like, holy God.
Okay, are you calling the Cisco part okay?
No, I love Cisco.
Okay.
I love Cisco.
How do you feel about Barry and Iris?
Eddie and Iris, I cannot stand
You can't stand them as a couple.
I don't know if it's the actress or the actor. It doesn't read true to me on the two of their relationships.
My other question is, what is the relationship between Wells and Eddie now? We know that they're related, but what is it?
I
just have so many more questions that I need to have answers, but at least we got something. And we also, like you said about the time travel, we're starting to develop rules. And I feel like I need to be writing every single thing down, like, at this day, at this time.
That's a mark of great television, though. When you have more questions than answers.
Yeah.
And absolutely.
With the Eddie and Iris thing, I think it might just have to do with the fact that it's almost kind of like the Laurel stuff in season one of Arrow.
Right.
I really didn't like her, but now I love her. So it's like, I want to like these guys because they're personal.
Roxy
people.
Be hating.
She's grown on me a little.
Yes, I did not
she
like
came
her
over
first
from
season.
Gossip Girl, and I loved her character on Gossip Girl. It was very different, and she was evil, so it was hard for me to adjust.
But with Eddie and
rolling,
him, like I knew
she hating.
I knew when the series started, I knew Eddie would not be Reverse Flash. I just knew. I was like, there's no way they didn't cast a bigger name actor in this role that he would eventually be the Nemesis.
Yeah, yeah. It was just incredible.
Now, did you ever hear this? That there was some fan talk, and it made sense. They thought that Harrison Wells was Barry Allen from the future.
Yeah, mm. People thought that.
That was kind of cool.
But then when we saw him in the yellow suit, he came out and he said, I am the Reverse Flash. Right. Do not mistake it. I am the Reverse Flash. So once he said that, I was like, either Johnny's point, major swerve, or he's really the Reverse Flash, which
It's funny you bring up Reverse Flash. We're talking about Wally West next. We're going to lead right into it.
Yeah.
Possibility. So in the new 52, so executive producer Andrew Kreisberg said, you know, in New 52, Wally West, African-American, and...
Yes.
And so they're saying that as far as he's concerned, Wally West is an African American, and so Kid Flash, if he's going to appear, I believe he's talking about in the spin-off series, or is he talking about Flash?
He's talking about season 2 of the Flash.
Right. Wally West might be making an appearance.
And now we got time travel, so it's easy to do. Not really easy, but and also because he's Kid Flash and he is supposed to be black, and then we do have Iris and whatever. There's just so many different possibilities, and I'm really excited to see his character. It's kind of weird because I think he is something about Linda. Isn't Linda supposed to be his? And then
I love Linda Park in that show.
But she's now awesome. Maybe he'll come for her and something. You know, maybe she's somebody we don't know who she. I don't know.
Well, the new bottom line is New 52 may be gone, but there's still a great influence that they're not forgetting about. And so,
of course,
how cool would that be?
You know, I always thought going into this that Grant Gustin is too young for Barry Allen.
No,
I view him as too young. I always thought he was a great Bart Allen. I love the actor, but I just would love to see. But because now thinking about it, it would have had so much better impact because they got the Trickster coming in and Mark Hamill's playing him, and they talk about it that, you know, 30 years ago this character was the Trickster in Central City causing so much havoc. How awesome would it have been to have John Wesley Shipp be the original Flash, who stopped being the Flash for some reason. Mm-hmm. Here comes this Trickster out of retirement, this young Flash, and then we get John Wesley Shipp as the Flash.
Yeah.
It would have been
and then throw in a little Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
It would have been. But the same reason that they did New 52.
That opportunity, I was like, oh.
It's the same reason they do New 52. They want to bring in new fans, and they want people to be able to start from scratch.
Yes.
And it's like, you don't want to have to go back and watch a whole series in order to understand what's going on in this series. Although you wouldn't necessarily have to. I don't know. I think that they're going a really good direction.
We got some big news here from Clark Kent on Twitter, at Only in Rushville. He says, DM me sizes and an address, and I'll ship off some t-shirts. Hey!
There he is.
Oh, my God.
That's
Can anybody match it? Going once.
I saw him on Twitter. He was the guy that made it up.
I mean, how many t-shirts do you have, Clark? Because we'll pay you for some. I mean, I've been looking
the hell out of that thing.
I've been trying to find a badass Aquaman t-shirt online, and all I find are these, like, really crappy recreations. I want, like, an original one that fits well and is comfortable.
You want a hand-drawn one?
I want to wear comic shirts, but I don't want something I'll find at Target. I want
that's what I'm saying.
Like a nice, cool.
I'm telling you, Hot Topic. They crush it.
I'm telling you.
I'm a grown ass man. I'm not going to Hot Topic.
I understand you're a grown ass man.
I walk in
I'm
Hot Topic
you.
And I just get this.
That's why they have 20% off online. I swear to God that they didn't pay me to say that. It's true.
I get the stares when I walk into Hot Topic.
Yeah, right? It's like, who are you babysitting? You want to buy something at Hot Topic?
You buy something for your son or your daughter here? Why are you in here?
And then you buy your goth makeup. You're like, don't worry about it. All right, moving on. We actually just had someone ask us in chat, are you going to talk about Batgirl? We sure are. Batgirl,
how did they know?
I don't know. This steams my clams, this whole Batgirl thing.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Is that an expression?
Yeah, it steams my clams.
Well,
Oh, my God.
You're from the East Coast, aren't you?
I am, yeah.
So let's get into it for those of us that don't really know the story. So Batgirl, a cover sparked a little bit of controversy. So Batgirl number 41, there's a Joker variant cover to celebrate the 75th anniversary of the Joker. Mm-hmm. The cover basically makes her look more like the victim than the hero. And so the artist Raphael Albuquerque released a statement saying, "My artwork was designed to pay homage to a comic that I really admire and I know is a favorite of many readers. The Killing Joke is part of Batgirl's canon, and artistically, I couldn't avoid portraying the traumatic relationship between Barbara Gordon and the Joker. For me, it was just a creepy cover that brought up something from the character's past I was able to interpret artistically. But it has become clear that for others, it's touched a very important nerve. I respect these opinions, and despite whether the discussion is right or wrong, no opinion should be discredited. My intention was never to hurt or upset anyone." And he basically goes on to say that he requested that the cover be pulled followed by DC with a statement saying, "We publish comic books about the greatest heroes of the world and the most evil villains imaginable. The Joker variant covers for June are in recognition of the 75th anniversary of the Joker. Regardless if fans like the homage to Alan Moore's The Killing Joke graphic novel from 25 years ago or find it inconsistent with the current tonality of Batgirl books, threats of violence and harassment are wrong and have no place in comics or society. We stand by our creative talent, and per Raphael's request, DC Comics will not publish the Batgirl variant."
Okay.
Holy smokes. On this.
All right, here's the deal. Wow. I'm gonna speak first so that in case anybody wants to call you guys sexist or whatever they want to say, that at least I jumped in first. Okay. I think that this is outrageous. I honestly, I respect people's opinions also, as I said in there. Did I take any offense to this as a woman? Absolutely not.
It's make-believe.
Right.
It's the history of a character. Are we gonna go back and say that he never sodomized Gordon
right.
and paralyzed her? These are the seminal moments in these characters' history.
Right.
We are so, as a society, that everything is offensive, and men, if we like this, we appreciate beating women. And it's like, no. I read this article online recently. It was talking about, you know, if you were a kid in the 70s and a kid today, and they said the kid in the 70s, if he came to work with a shotgun in his truck because he went hunting, there, the principal that day would see the shotgun and go, "Oh, look at my one. Look at this model I've got."
Yeah.
Whereas today, the SWAT team would be called, and this kid would be going into jail.
But that's justifiably because that's society today.
But it filters down to comic books. This is art form. This writer and artist should be allowed to do whatever they want. Like, if you guys go to the comic store, there's a character called Deja Thoris from Warlord of Mars. Every cover of her, they have a variant cover, she's naked. Completely naked.
And they put it
on the shelf behind with tape, you know, up. But it's there.
This
is freedom. Why?
I think feminism gets so misinterpreted in this kind of situation, because I think that to be a feminist means to be an equalist, and if you are for equal rights, and if this was a guy who was being, and a woman doing it to him, nobody would have a problem with it.
If you read the story, Batgirl is empowering. And also, I think the one argument is that Batgirl, they're trying to cater to a bit of a younger audience. They think it might scare people off, but come on, it's freaking art. It's art and it's make-believe.
If anything, make it a variant cover that more expensive, and you've got to ask behind the shelf for it if it's that much of a problem.
I also don't find it to be that vulgar or gory or I don't know. I think it could have gone further than that. I feel bad because I understand that other people are taking this very offensively and personally, and for them, yes, I want their opinions to be respected, but there are things that are out there that I take personally and offensively, but I appreciate that they're out there because everybody's got their own opinion.
Why are they upset at it?
People were apparently receiving threats. Now, they claim the artist, Raphael Albuquerque, was not receiving any threats. But, you know, that's the problem with social media. There's benefits and there's drawbacks. The one drawback is, you know, the keyboard warriors say some really awful things to people. I mean, you've seen what's happened on this show.
You see what's going on. Ashley Judd, where she was doing
Vic Vitale
sports things, commenting, and then the guys are like, "I'm going to rape you," and this and that. I was like, "Whoa!"
Well, they've been friends. I think it's over the Dick Vitale thing. They've been friends for 25 years. Dick Vitale is a staple in college basketball, and. Yeah, people are just, they're terrible. And with Kurt Schilling's daughter, the stuff they say to her on Twitter, it's just the same. It goes back to the same thing.
I want to go to the chat, though, because we were asking about why people were offended.
Please, yeah.
And somebody, I'll keep it anonymous just in case they want, said, "She doesn't look like a hero. She looks like a victim."
Well,
a victim
of
sexual
thing.
Assault, mind you. So maybe that people are offended because she's just wrongfully being portrayed.
But she was a victim in part of the fact that Barbara Gordon, she saw her father sodomized, paralyzed, and she rose to become Oracle in that version of DC. One of the greatest characters. She's handicapped, and one of the strongest characters in DC Universe. It empowered them.
Right.
Bruce Wayne's
parents
was
are a
murdered.
Victim. So why is what's wrong with the cover? You know why? And it was brought up a great point in chat roll. A lot of the people that are offended don't know the freaking story. They just see the cover and they're like, "Oh no.
Okay.
Oh, we can't have that."
Because
they have no idea that was the thing that happened.
All these characters, they're empowered.
This is what Heisenberg says. Shout out to Heisenberg. Says, "The Joker kills children in a daycare in the 90s, but people care about this."
Yeah, I remember that scene. It was from it was Cataclysm. And it's when he killed Gordon's wife. He's walking out. He's got all these babies in his arm, and he's just killing them, and he kills his wife in front of him.
I don't know.
I think the image came out. No one knows the context of it, and
it's so
like
the
keyboard
say
warriors,
me.
It just goes nuts.
Yeah.
DC Comics, you can't say that it's degrading women and taking away their power. It empowers them. That's a moment you look back and go, wait a minute, she rose above this guy.
Mm-hmm.
and didn't try and eventually kill him. She rose to one of the greatest characters in the DC universe.
And kudos to the artist. He said, he's like, look, this is the artistic interpretation I came up with in my brain because I felt it was authentic to the story. Well, then, all right, let's keep it up there.
I think he's... I
understand his point. I do understand his point to be like, look, I don't want to, you know, ruffle any feathers.
Yes.
I understand. But for him to say, I don't blame him defending himself at all.
No. Yeah. I'm interested in the fact that they pulled it, and I'm kind of bummed that they did, because I think that maybe standing your ground is the right move. However, if it really did offend people and he just wants to kind of step back from that, then I guess, I guess art should be...
And it was
put
said
under the shelf
perfectly in chat roll by Ryan M. The cover won't change the story. Indeed, sir, you are correct.
Yeah. You can't. What is it? Buy a book, read a book, but can't.
Wow.
Judge a book by its
cover. Come on, get it, get it. You can get it, Roxy. Get this, get this.
Oh my God.
You can't.
That was like a brain fart moment.
The book tells
like,
you what the characters
by who's
drawn.
What's the deal with the cover and the book?
When you open the book, that's where the words are.
I just got like 15 tweets at least about how bad that was and how dumb I am. I'm sorry, guys. It was a moment.
That was classic. Should we get into some questions? We got about 5 minutes
left. Let's hit to it. Let's hit the questions.
We pretty much covered everything for this week, so let's do it.
Good
right?
week. Busy week.
Yeah.
Pretty busy.
Last thing I just really briefly wanted to touch upon was the fact that iZombie premiered, which if you guys are DC fans, you should go check it out. It's on CW, and it's on Tuesdays at 9 o'clock. It took Supernatural's old spot, and I actually really enjoyed it. I don't know that much about zombies. I know a lot about vampires, but this is teaching...
That's just a great quote. I don't know much about zombies, but vampires, you call them.
No, werewolves, witches, vampires, I know a lot about, but zombies, not that much, and it did pretty well. I don't know if that's because the Flash has been doing so well and people just kind of stuck around or what, but I asked you guys all on Twitter last night and people are seeming to really like it, so I would suggest checking it out if you want. Obviously
pretty
Vertigo.
Cool story. She helps solve murders by eating brains of the dead.
She likes to
eat
the brains.
Kind of like
brains.
A little Dexter thing going on here.
A little bit. Kind of like a Dexter thing, but with a zombie. So
nice twist. So.
Yeah, it's cool. Very cool.
A little bit of a copper taste, I would
More
imagine.
More comic books on TV, so I'm all for it. Sure. Fantastic.
Okay. Getting to the questions from you guys, which you can submit on Twitter and on Facebook and on YouTube and
everywhere.
On iTunes and anywhere else you so please. This is from @StraightSnuggles wants to know, what sports athlete would you like to see play a hero or villain in the DCCU?
Mm-hmm. Throw it to you on that one.
I got a couple. You've got a lot of wrestling knowledge,
so I'd like to hear.
Everyone watching knows I'm going to go the pro wrestling route, but there's a good reason for it. A lot of wrestlers have proven themselves to a certain extent as actors. Most pro athletes have not done that. I mean, you look at how many pro athletes have become decent actors. There's
Michael
not
Jordan,
many.
Space Jam, done.
Really? Well, thank you. For every Michael Jordan, there's a Howie Long or a Brian Bosworth or all those guys.
She was kidding. Michael Jordan can't act. Brian Bosworth can out-act
Kazam
any day.
With Shaquille O'Neal.
Point taken.
That was so good.
Another point taken. Actually, Shaq has a pilot for True TV coming out. I don't know if it's going to get picked up.
You
but
go, boy.
Anyways, that's my point, is a lot of pro athletes have not proven themselves to be good actors. I guess Rick Fox might be considered the best crossover. I don't know.
Okay.
So I'm going to go the pro wrestling route. I got two guys. I had mentioned Dean Ambrose on the show before. He actually has a movie coming out with WWE Studios. He's one of the most real dudes in wrestling right now. And he came from the indie scene where, like, if you look up him on, he used to be John Moxley. Look up some of his matches. Some of the bloodiest, goriest, craziest matches, literally in front of 20 people. The guy's out of his mind. And now he's on a national platform. He's amazing. I think he can be an incredible actor if given the shot. But another guy, since we're talking about superheroes, a guy named Wade Barrett. He goes by Bad News Barrett right now. He's 6'7". He is a former bare-knuckle boxing champion in England. There's actually a thing called bare-knuckle boxing.
Is that what it sounds like?
They got old fisticuffs going on there.
Just put the dukes
up. Let's go for it.
Classic style.
He
was a champion in that. He's 6'7", and he's British. That has all the makings of a solid superhero, and no one's really mentioned him before thinking about that. He actually was also in the movie Dead Man Down with Colin Farrell. Didn't have a huge role, but he was in that movie. So those are two choices that I think would be very interesting.
All right, here's what I got. Obviously, you guys know I'm from Boston. I'm a big fan, but there recently has been talk about Tom Brady potentially wanting to be an actor when he's done as a player.
No.
I think, first of all, he does great in those UGG commercials.
Never seen it.
And second of all, I think that he's amazing and can do whatever he wants. And he's also built, and a lot of these superheroes are built, so Tom Brady for Shazam.
Can I pass on this one?
Yeah, yeah, you can pass.
I'm not a sports guy.
That's fine.
I think athletes to athletes, actors to actors, movies and TV.
Ashes to ashes.
Some people are just multi-talented.
Well, all right. That begs to be seen.
Moving on. What do we got? Roxy, I think we
have... Okay. Go ahead. This is from @BatBoy1989. Will Batman kill the Joker in the DC MCU? All the best from Germany. You guys rock. So, hello, Germany.
Guten Tag.
Yeah, and then I think you said something maybe in German that I can't pronounce, so that back to you.
Answer.
I
say no.
No. He's going to stick around.
I think you have to, because let's not forget, 2020 can't be the end
of
everything. I mean, unless society, unless
but
the world blows up.
But like a reboot or whatever.
I mean, unless the world ends.
I think they're going, this is what's going to, for the foreseeable future, what they're establishing, they're not going to, unless... They're bombs.
That's what Spider-Man thought.
Exactly. Unless they're bombs.
And Spider-Man was amazing, and everybody out there is wrong who thinks that it wasn't.
Are you talking about Spider-Man 2?
Yeah, Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
No, but I agree. I don't think that he will. I think that people would be bummed to see the Joker go.
Especially...
Now, granted, Joker... he may kill Joker, and then somehow magically he'll reappear down the road.
Maybe unless because they're pulling the 52 stuff in. If you guys are reading 52, Scott Snyder's, what he's doing right now with Endgame, Joker, it's phenomenal. And it would make killing the Joker, I'm not going to spoil it, but just a little difficult.
How about Joker as a hologram with Tupac? Pew. Mind blown, everybody.
Because the Tupac Coachella hologram?
Oh, gosh.
I was there. Shout out. All right, moving on. Do I have time for another question?
Go for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, this is from @OnlyInRushville wants to know, what do you...
That's the guy who's going to send us a
T-shirt.
So
man.
Shout out to you. That's why we're asking your question.
Buddy.
You're the best. Also, what do you guys think about one of the Batman solos being a prequel to Man of Steel?
I think I read this on Twitter today. I love it.
Yeah.
I don't want an origin. Please, God, I don't need to see Affleck's origin. Is Batman. I want it established. Let him go. So this could be him as Batman, and I don't want to see villains' origins. Let these characters... That's why I love Suicide Squad. Mm-hmm. We're not getting the origins of all these characters. They're already established in the universe being brought together. Make it Batman in his prime fighting these villains that he's fought before or something. Yeah. I think that's phenomenal.
What part of
it
being
also, prequels... I mean, there's always a chance of a prequel tanking. That's the only...
What part of it being a prequel would necessarily mean it wasn't an origin?
Because he's talking... He says before Man of Steel, right, was the question?
Right.
This is... Because he's been Batman for, I think, 15 years in their universe that they're saying.
Yeah, but how pre is prequel?
I'd say...
Prequels...
A year or two before, you know, Kal-El shows up on Earth. Where he's Batman, and maybe the end of that one movie leads into him finally seeing Man of Steel, the events of Man of Steel, maybe with the World Engine and Metropolis, and then kind of goes around. I don't think they will do prequels. I think they'll do, you know, past what's going on.
I know that you don't want an origin because you are very well versed in
everyone
what
is. Come on.
Okay,
my mom knows why Batman is Batman.
That's true, but necessarily do your niece and nephew know? You know, I just made that up. Who knows if you have
niece
and nephew?
You can do what they did with the Raimi trilogy and do some paintings at the beginning of the movie showing his parents. Oh, well, no, we couldn't show his parents laying in a pool of blood because someone would get upset.
Well, you could show the father, but just not the mom.
Yeah, we'd get upset and say that, you know.
Sorry, terrible. I don't mean to make a joke.
Didn't we also have one more question about possible Green Lantern thing?
Yeah,
We'll answer it real quick and then we'll get
okay,
out of
the so last question from Roberto Santana says, here's a thought.
What up, Robert?
Do you guys think that Tom Hardy could in the future play Guy Gardner?
Hell yeah.
And the whole Green Lantern movie could just be a core movie about the Green Lantern Corps. So,
I mean, the character the fits him. A wise-ass loudmouth. I think Hardy, he could do that.
That man, Roberto, hits the nail on the head for perfect casting.
Tom Hardy is Guy Gardner.
And I would love to see Ben Affleck just punch him right in the face.
Do you guys think,
that's from the
though,
comics, everyone knows.
Regardless of what the role is or anything like that, do you guys think that Tom Hardy will be offered a role in DC after what just happened?
They want him.
Yeah, but are they pissed at him?
No.
Okay.
Just didn't work out. The deal didn't work out.
I as heck hope so because I'm a big Tom Hardy supporter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that just didn't work out at the time.
Give him some time, a couple of years.
He'll come back.
I think he will. They always come back.
Come back swinging.
What a show. This was a lot of fun once again.
Great to be back.
Mike Kalinowski, put yourself over. Go right ahead.
Absolutely. Well, thank you guys again for the comments. I try and read all of them and talk to you guys out there. Thank you so much. You're one of the reasons that I'm back here, I guess. But so again, @MikeKalinowski on Twitter. I think Instagram. I'm on Instagram. I think I post pictures of my dog.
Boom.
On Instagram.
People like dogs.
Follow.
I love dogs.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. My little guy. but reach out to me, guys. I love chatting with you guys. You're phenomenal. So thank you again for having me.
Rocks. Roxy Stryer.
You guys can find me at Roxy Stryer. And thank you for joining us live in the chat on YouTube, where you can find us at 2:45 on Thursdays if you want to join us live next time. Mm-hmm. And as always, on Twitter and all of those great places. We love
Facebook,
hearing what you guys
get our Facebook likes up. We got to keep jumping those up.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? And that thumbs up, that 5 stars.
Yes, please do. At Jay Quasto. And actually, I got to headline the Bray Improv this week. And one of our listeners slash viewers, Ruben Najara, actually came out to the show.
Oh, my God.
And it was great to meet him. And he lives in the area and actually drove all the way back up from Arizona. He's actually got a film coming out. And so he's a busy dude himself. Came to the show. It was great to see him. We talked for a little bit.
Wow.
And other than that, at Jay Quasto, JLocomedy.com. If you're in Arizona, I'm going to be headlining the Stand Up Scottsdale April 2nd to April 5th, Easter weekend. So please come out. We'll have a party. We'll have a great time.
Don't miss it. I hear he's pretty funny.
Yeah, do what I can. Otherwise, and of course, follow at Adam Gertler. He will be back very, very soon.
Well, I want to say, people don't know soon. I think the cat's out of the bag now. Adam Gertler and I are the same person.
Yes.
We've pulled the Harrison Wells reverse flash. I've come back in time. I'm trapped here. And this is kind of like a speed double of myself with that. That's why we're never on together.
And you know how to make sausage.
I do.
Boom.
Hey.
All right. We'll see you next week. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Take care, guys.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.